You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Hello and welcome to the Two Old Dolphins podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk podcast network. The show is hosted by Alex Sines and me, Scott Quiggle. Good evening, Alex. We're back. It's good to be back. How you doing?
It's awesome. And less than 2 weeks away from the draft, right?
Right. It's about time we got back in front of the microphone. This is season four of Two Old Dolphins podcast. Can you believe it?
Yay. Could you believe it? It seems like yesterday when I made that call to you. Hey, Scott, I got this crazy idea, and I've said this story, you know, endless times. I had every preparation made to do the perfect close. All your objections that I thought you were going to come up with. I had them all in my mind. I had them all listed. I had rehearsed it. And then you go, yeah, great idea. I went, whoa, wait a minute. That's it?
All that time I spent preparing my arguments.
I was going to come back. I thought you had all these points about time and I don't have enough time and family and this. And I said, I'm going to come up with a solution to each one of these. And then boom, all of a sudden you said yes, and that's it. Here we are 4 years later.
Yeah, so we had our winter off or whatever you want to call it. This is the first episode back. It's been four months? 4 months since How's that possible?
That's crazy.
4 months since we've done a podcast.
That's absolutely nuts. And this time last year we were preparing, well, that's not true.
I think we did one last year's draft. Yeah.
Yeah, we were thinking about attending the draft. We had all the plans to go to Vegas, and now
we had the hotel and all the arrangements.
Yeah, we had the hotel. Yeah. We paid it, and they were nice enough to refund us. But anyway, here we are today, man. Cleveland, and at one of the most exciting, pivotal drafts in Dolphin history is this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had a plethora of picks last year, including three first rounders. So I was super excited for last year, and then, you know, we did a lot of the, you know, build the offensive line and build the defense, and you know, but we were all excited because we got our quarterback, that type of thing. In let me pause and just say it's been 4 months. What have you been up to in the last 4 months?
You know, it's, I'm still, you know, recuperating from the little incident I had. And the biggest exciting thing I had was my 60th birthday happened here in March. And my wife, my kids put together this trip for me to go to Sedona and had just the greatest time, man. And even saw some alleged UFOs. So if anybody goes out there, you got to give this thing a shot. It's unbelievable. They give you these military grade gargles, you know, night vision things. Uh-huh. And you see these things that they definitely look, feel like UFOs. And everyone there, 20 other people that were with us saw the same things. So it's kind of interesting, man. I'm telling you, I'm not, I'm just saying that, wow, what an experience, you know, to see that. If anybody's near Arizona, Sedona, go out there and take that UFO tour, and you're going to get, you know, at least you're going to have some interesting subjects to talk about. Your friends will think you're nuts, or they'll find it interesting.
Yeah, I'm on the, I'm a little bit on the nuts side right now.
Well, you haven't tried it, so it's not fair.
That's true. I've always been entertained by the idea of UFOs and aliens and all that stuff, but I never had any belief in that sort of thing, so...
Well, you know,
it's certainly possible. Like the universe is out there, right? So,
I mean, we can only see 4% of the universe. 96% is basically what, dark universe. So, if we think that 96% has nothing,
well, yeah, okay. It's. I mean, it's a human ego out of control to think that we're the only life in the entire galaxy. That's absurd. But
now, having said that, Scott, those UFOs
traveling between the stars, though,
Well, yeah. Those UFOs that I saw, I have a funny feeling that they are UFOs. Yeah, they were. They were unidentified. They weren't planes. They weren't helicopters. But they could very well be American military. Yeah. So anyway, what have you been up to?
You know, a lot of stuff. I think the couple of, I don't know, interesting things were sort of the quest I was on to ever, you know, hit every trail and mountain around here. And so every Saturday morning with my daughter, you know, heading out and each time increasing the distance and the height and everything and really pushing. And one reason was to get myself back in shape for a ski trip because, you know, when I was a young man, I skied all the time and it was my favorite thing to do. And, you know, it's been a number of years since last time I skied. And last time I skied, I was sore for like a week. So I wanted to prepare a little more. And, you know, we did that. And that was a blast. And so, you know, a couple of fun things like that. And then, of course, about a month ago, I'm running a 2-man auger and I hurt myself 3 ways.
3 ways.
Yes, in 3 different places. And I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm just saying, you know, it set me back. I have not been able to hike or go to the gym or do any of the things I was doing prior to that little incident. So, yeah.
Well, I did a 5.5-mile beach hike for you this weekend.
There you go. There you go. I'm barely walking the dog right now, but you know, I'm recovering too. So I'll be back on the trails soon enough.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. That's good to hear. That's great to hear.
All right.
I would see actually your post of you and like a different mountain every single weekend. I was like, what the hell is he trying to do?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, I the first 2 weekends I was like, okay, cool. Then 3, and I'm like, wow. It's like every weekend he's like climbing up Mount Everest here.
Trying to shed some weight, get the legs in shape, get the lungs in shape. There you go. You know, the whole thing. It was working.
Yeah, a little bonding time too with the
right,
dog. That's
exactly.
Really nice.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really.
Yeah,
you know.
My oldest daughter, and most of the time, and then you know my other daughter sometimes as well. So, I loved it. Yeah,
really nice.
I mean, I got that
really
iPhone
cool.
12, right? Mm-hmm. And it takes amazing pictures. And so,
yeah, I know, I do
I'm
too.
I'm not like
a
big. Social media poster. I mean, I'm sure that even this podcast would be more known in the universe if I was on social media
so
promoting it all the
get
time. But I'm not. So, but I was so, I don't know, impressed with the quality of the pictures that I'm taking. I'm not even remotely a photographer. That I just like, you know what, I'm going to, you know, post these for the family because they're beautiful pictures. So
yeah, I've been doing some goofy things like that with this camera phone. I've been, when I went on the hike, I took pictures of flowers and sending them to my wife. And, you know, I'm like, you know, it's like, because it takes such great pictures. I feel like I'm, you know, all artsy and stuff.
I had a video visit with my doctor and I sent him some pictures of the injury, one of the injuries. And I'm like, oh God, I don't want anyone to see that.
So. Yeah, skip me on that one. On that chain.
That one does not go to social media. So, anyway.
So where do we start?
There's so much that's happened. There's so much that happened since our last podcast, and so, you know, I'm sure that those of you that listen have heard all of these things, and so what you know we provide as the old gurus, right, that have been around since the beginning, is more about our observations and our opinions, and so. Why don't we just touch on many of the things that happened since we've done the podcast? And if we have a strong opinion about them or some commentary or whatever, then we'll share it with you. And then this leading up to the draft, which is coming in 2 weeks, which we're very excited about.
I can't wait for this draft.
And I think that's the thing that our whole text group has been saying the most in the last 2 weeks. Can we have the draft already? We're sick of all the mocks. Everyone on the planet has a mock draft, you know, except for us. I mean, we talked about kind of doing one, but it's just I
can't do it. I would put everybody drafted by Miami. Yeah, so
I can't pass him. Let's trade up. Let's trade a 2035 first round pick for this guy.
We're trading next year's draft so we can get up to move up a spot. Yeah, it's crazy. But
all right, so not remembering exactly what day, I think it was either New Year's Day, the day after New Year's that we recorded last time. But let's just go back, right? So
let's go.
We
let's time travel.
We had a fullback on the team, and his name was Chandler Cox, and we barely used him, and we waived him.
Boom, gone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have no opinions on that except, you know, when we got him, I thought it was an interesting move because nobody uses a fullback, and we did the same thing. We didn't use him.
And then, let's see, January 5th.
Wish him well. Wish him well.
Sure, sure. Okay. Hopefully he can continue his NFL career, and if not,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
That something else good will happen for him. And so here's a big one. On January 6th, right?
Oh, yeah.
We officially announced that our offensive coordinator, Chan Gailey, resigned.
Yes. Resign. Okay.
Yep. Retired. Mutually agreed. Whatever it is. So now we're headed into year three in a row under Flores with new leadership at offense. And, you know, there was rumors about what that was going to be, but let's save that for the actual date, right? March 6th, when the official announcement was made. Because we
and
have
Scotty,
some opinions on that.
Scotty, can I... Here's what one of the things I want to intervene on that. if there's one major Achilles heel of Flores is his hiring. And it's been like this since year one.
Yeah.
Where he hired and fired an offensive line coach before the guy ever coached.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been going on and on. So one good part is that he doesn't hold on to guys. We've all seen it. You know, with that loyalty, oh, he's loyal and he's holding on to people who, you know, haven't been up to par.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the other part is, holy Toledo, with a guy like Tua, the last thing I want to see is him getting a new coordinator every year like Tannehill. Got.
Right. And you know? I think that's part of the damage we did to Tannehill, who is now a, you know, Pro Bowl quarterback.
Besides doing the famous Gason.
Right. Yes. Yes.
You know, the fact that.
You know, what's not in my timeline. Yeah, actually, we did talk about the firing of Gase in our last
yeah,
episode
of
last season. Yeah, and we rang the final bell for. See, this is our old man, at least my old man memory. I'm like, oh, Gase. Oh.
It was dark. It was dark day. It was a dark day in our family. We, you know, and again, guys, nobody wants to see anybody get fired. I'll say it a million times. I think he was getting like $5 million a year. So I'm not going to shed any tears for Gase, but he is by far the worst coach the NFL has seen, at least in the last two decades.
Yeah, that's touched us either, you know, up close because he was involved with us or, you know, the Jets who we have to face all the time. And actually, it was quite enjoyable to tease.
Oh, what a demise. Yeah. It was great. It was just awesome to see the fight within the team, the reporters fighting with him. It was just great. I'm really going to miss it.
Yeah. Let's see. Our defensive line coach, Marion Hobby, left the team. I mean, it says, but ESPN, this is great writing. Announced DL coach Marion Hobby has mutually left the team. How do you mutually leave a team?
That's the way the Dolphins fire you.
Yeah.
That's the Flores way of firing
mutually
you.
Left the team. Yeah, but the English. We did name a new, offensive line coach, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say a new offensive coordinators. Okay.
Not yet, right?
Not yet, huh? Okay.
So we did switch offensive line coaches again. We announced that Steve Marshall left the coaching staff, and we named someone, you know, if I'd done my homework, I would have looked him up, Lemuel Jean-Pierre. Sounds very French to me.
So probably a nice. I hope he's a Haitian. You know, would, like, yeah. I've seen some big Haitians, man. But maybe he's a big, strong Haitian guy. Good, strong coach. Here's my problem, man. That's four. My math is right. That's four offensive line coach.
Yeah, and so not only are we switching up, you know, our coordinators with a rookie quarterback, but our offensive line full of rookies is now facing another group. So
whatever, 3-4. I mean, this is just a crazy amount of change. I mean, again, that's this Achilles heel, if there is one, is that of Mr. Flores. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get into February. All right. We're getting closer. So here was a big re-signing, right? the should have been Pro Bowl kicker that we have, Jason Sanders, 5-year contract.
You know that, you know, we don't talk about this because he's not, he's no longer a Dolphin, but you know the reason he's on the Dolphins, right?
Tell me.
There's a, there was a little Italian coach that we had.
Yes, yes.
Rizzi. And yeah, he loved him. He went to see him and he said, we got to draft this guy. So,
sang his praises, pounded the table, worked it.
And boy, was he right. This guy was Mr. Automatic. He was fantastic to watch all year. I mean, if we would have had just a little bit better offense, he would have been even more incredible. I remember
the sheer disappointment when he finally missed a kick. Like, my guts curled up. I'm like, oh, you were like, well, now he got it out of the way, right?
And I was happy. I was happy.
I just wanted him to go the whole season, be that guy.
No,
you know?
It's too much stress, man.
It's greatness. Yeah, anyways.
No, but the guy is great, and the guy made the All-Pro. Well, didn't make it, but, you know, we all know he's an All-Pro.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the guy was money. He was money. It's a great, great seventh-round pick.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Let's see. We tendered contracts to linebacker Calvin Munson, cornerback Nick Needham, and cornerback Jamal Perry.
Wasn't Perry like our first guy that we hired?
Jamal Perry?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by hired?
This is free agency or?
This is March 8th, right? We're into March already. Sorry. I am jumping way ahead here.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, before that even happened, we released Kyle. How did you feel when we released Kyle Van Noy after 1 year?
I was shocked. And why? Because he was a team captain.
That's exactly why I was shocked, too.
Because he was a team leader. Why? Because he was brought here for an alleged culture thing that we were building.
Yes.
And next thing you know, this guy is cut and kicked to the curve. And then, to make matters just a kick in the Dolphins' rear end.
Went right back to where he came from.
He goes back to New England for less money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For less money. Now, he was our biggest free agent signing, right? Well, their second or whatever you want to call him. Him and Jones were the two
Jones
biggest guys,
one,
right?
He was two, yeah.
He was two, yeah. But still... And we got nothing. We got 1 year out of him, and then we cut him. So I was shocked. I'm speechless. It's almost like the Dolphins again say, oh, we made a mistake.
Yeah. Well, I know. I mean, I don't know. Like, I wasn't in anyone's back pocket or anything, but I'm sure it had more to do with money versus performance, right? So he
it was probably a money deal. Yeah, yeah, it was probably
mostly
money,
right? If he had been like all pro playing, then we would have found a way to keep him. But he was good, but not great, and
not exceptional. But isn't that what he is?
I think it's what he always was.
I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure he was a Brigham Young linebacker. Which is always hardworking, intelligent linebackers. Mm-hmm. And he got drafted by Detroit. Detroit, then he flopped or he didn't do very good. And New England picked him up, did a perfect scheme, and there you go. He was very successful. Came to Miami, which was supposed to be a similar, identical scheme. And all of a sudden, he's not that good
anymore.
I mean, who knew
him better?
I mean, who was the one that we all thought was banging on the drums for him? Had to be Flores.
Yeah, right.
And we all said he's the oldest guy in the group, right? I think he was 29 when we
not old, right?
Not old at all. But he was the oldest free agent. So this whole thing smells like, oops, we made a mistake. Yes, it was money, but who gave him the money?
Yeah, Greer.
I mean, you know. So, we're giving him the money and we take it away and then we say, oh, it was the money. Well, we're the ones who did the contract. So I don't know. It just, it sucks. But next.
Okay, here's the big one. I'm going to read this whole one off. Let me get through it and then you can just jump right on it because I know you're going to.
Maybe not.
On March 6th, we named Danny Crossman, assistant head coach, special teams coordinator. George Godsey, co-offensive coordinator. Eric Studsville, co-offensive coordinator. Running backs, right? Tight ends, first half, running back, second half. Charles Burks then became cornerbacks coach. Austin Clark became the defensive line coach to replace the departed gentleman. Sean Flaherty, assistant offensive line coach. Okay. I'm still not seeing offensive line coach. Mike Judge, assistant tight ends coach. And Rob Leonard, outside linebackers coach. A whole shuffle there.
Again, this happens in a lot of places. You know, most franchises go through this.
Yeah, when somebody retires or gets promoted to a better opportunity
somewhere else, or within the same
organization, of course.
Now, the two offensive coordinators.
Every company I ever worked for.
Yeah, the two offensive coordinators, I don't like it. I'm not a big fan of having two heads that are equal in that kind of a scenario. This is not a marriage.
Yeah,
you know, this is an organization. I hope it works. I've never seen it work.
It has never worked.
Does it mean? Name me one pro team has ever done this.
I remember seeing, right after it happened on Twitter, an Eagles fan jump on it and say, yeah, the Eagles tried that back in, I don't remember what year, 86 or something. And it was a complete and utter failure. Disaster, he called it.
I don't even remember that, but maybe that's why I don't remember it. Because it was
such a joke. We've never been closely following the Eagles except when we trade with
them
or
people,
something.
But this is a copycat world. Forget about league, right? Yep. It's a copycat world. And in a copycat world, somebody would have copied it if this thing was successful. Everybody, ran the West Coast offense. Everybody's done, it's just been the way it has been. If it's something successful, everybody wants to get it.
I'm an agile coach. I've mentioned it many times. And I believe in business, practicing the empirical method, the scientific method frequently, and keeping it short and keeping it useful, right? Mm-hmm. Try something and check on it on a very short time frame, and if it looks like it's going to go in the right direction, keep it going. But if it looks like it's going to fail, dump it quickly and move on. So, I'm stuck between, hey, this could be a really innovative idea that they've decided to go with, and maybe it will be the one that everyone copies because they came up with something semi-original and it worked, but. I honestly am with you. I don't.
No,
I don't
come
think
on.
It's
this is
work,
a,
it's, so.
It's I yeah it yeah
yeah. Well,
I could
we
just
saw
see
the
things are going bad.
We saw the offense performance that the coaching tandem put forward in the game that they coached.
Yeah, the thing in Alabama. Oh my God! The Senior Bowl.
Oh my God.
Oh, what happened
Grandpa,
there? Yeah, it was a senior.
I don't remember.
It was a Senior Bowl, and they did a decent, I just don't know who to give credit to. But whatever.
Yeah, well, the first half they
scored
zero points, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
And the second half, then they exploded.
So. They did very well then. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't really matter. The point is that we're gonna during the season, the most important part of the year. The real season, the real NFL. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do when things are going south? Our coordinators need to get our, game plan together, and who's going to do it? Who's going to take the blame? Who's got the leadership there? I hope it works for the Dolphins' sake, for our sake.
So one thing
for Tua's sake.
One thing in business that can crush you is decision latency, right? It's expensive. When you need to make a decision on the spot, you have one person in a role that's got the capability of making that one decision quickly because it needs to be made as quickly as possible. So
we don't even know who's going to be calling the plays.
Are they going to do that half and half thing? Are they going to take turns in games?
I say we go old school and we have Tua calling the plays. Just kidding. But you know what? There was a time and place.
Yes.
There was a time and place when that wouldn't be so crazy. Okay. Because remember when we won those Super Bowls, guys back in the 70s, Greasy called his own place. And Greasy was a young man. Now, he wasn't exactly a second-year guy, but he wasn't that far off it, and he called his own place. So maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm just kidding because it's never going to happen in today's world. Talk about copycat. I don't think they'll ever let a quarterback call his own plays anymore. I mean, hell, when Jimmy Johnson came in, he wouldn't even let Marino call an audible.
But, yeah, which is nuts.
I mean, that's completely
nuts. So who's
nuts.
They? I mean, you know.
Our coordinators.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, they're whatever. Too busy fighting over them calling it, let alone giving that authority.
It's a strange situation with that. It really is. It's strange, but let's hope it works for our Dolphins' sake. But that to me, that was the highlight of March.
Yeah. Right? Well, March 7th, we signed Michael Pallardy. Who's that? You say? Our new punter, because for whatever reason. Money or some, I can't imagine what it would be other than money because Matt Hackett was
signed,
a good kid.
And who had the money? Who had the money to sign the punter?
Oh, he went off to
Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Yep. So now Buffalo. We face Van Noy and the Patriots and Hack will be punting into the coffin corner.
I hope he punts a lot against us.
Me too. We may never see him punt. I don't know.
I want to see him punt a lot.
Yes, that'd be great. Hey, look how good Matt really Hack nice. Is for you.
Yeah, look, he pinned us back. Okay, yeah. I can deal with it. yeah, man, it's I don't know. I mean, I thought he was just coming into his own. I thought he had his best season. I just hate taking grown talent and losing it. In that respect. And
talent.
I know punters,
yeah,
the people don't have a lot of value.
We don't
for
have
that.
The best track record with keeping homegrown talent. I mean,
yeah, and then we showed it again. I mean, here's a punter that was coming into his own, and
we
just
draft
said, oh,
these
good night,
guys.
Now.
We bring them in as, you know, rookies and everything, and then 4 years later, they're gone. And they're, yeah, so.
Okay. Can we get into the draft?
We're almost there. We're almost there, I promise.
Okay, go.
Okay, Vince Beagle, I liked. And he got hurt at the beginning of last season. And, you know, he was somebody that was
he's
getting our attention, right? So I'm kind of glad that he gets another shot.
I like
him.
It. Agree.
March 13th.
And did we re-sign Baker, by the way?
Not yet.
No. We haven't extended him. You know why? Because we're
Gesicki
I don't know what the hell we're
Baker,
thinking.
And yeah, there's a bunch of guys. Yeah,
Gesicki, I couldn't care less right now. Baker, I want him re-signed.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't understand. And I think we need to
restructure. I'll tell you why I want Gesicki re-signed or not after the draft.
And we got Pitts. No. Yeah. Okay, don't re-sign him. But Baker, we can resign him. We can get, you know, close to $10 million or something like that in cap room, and we're gonna need it to sign all these rookies.
Yeah, yeah, we sure are. There's gotta be moves coming. So, all right, free agency. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Cornerback Justin Coleman, wide receiver Robert Foster, running back Malcolm Brown, from the Rams. A new backup quarterback, Jacoby Brissett.
I like that signing.
Defensive lineman Adam Butler, away from New England. Mm-hmm. Tight end. Why do we need another tight end?
We want to have about six.
We have more than that. I don't know. We're always signing tight ends. It seems like Seth and Carter, from the Bengals, but I never heard of him before. So. And then our free agency continues, and according to a lot of the writers that I've read and analysts, blah blah blah, William Fuller, and people really like that move. I didn't love it, I didn't love it because of his injury history. I didn't love it because, of course, last year you made the joke during the podcast, so I'm laughing already. It's your joke, but you stole it too, so.
I stole it. I did. I saw it on Twitter. It was hysterical. It was just hysterical that whatever performance enhancement drug he's taking, it should be legal.
Yes.
First time he ever stayed on the field. Yeah. But Scott, I tell you
what
I don't
like
about
that. He's got the speed. I mean, he gets open on pure speed.
Yeah. No, and he's and when he performs, he's at a high level.
Yes.
He had a great connection with Watson.
Yep.
Hey, well, we're going to talk about Watson.
Let me get this through this.
Because we have to talk about him.
All right.
We have to. But okay, Fuller, I like to say of the signings,
it was our biggest signing.
Me excited. Yeah, Fuller got me excited and then got me depressed. And here's the whole story. If we believe in this guy and we give him a one-year contract and he performs,
he's going to leave.
Chances are diminished to the point that it's almost a waste of time because he's going to go for the highest paid money. Yep. He's going to do what anybody would do.
Yes.
I had a great season. I proved it. And guess what? Very few guys say, well, Miami believed in me. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean,
nobody does. That's not going to happen. Everyone's loyal to the dollar these days. So.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's a guy that if I'm going to take a risk with him and I believe in a guy like that, I would want to see a 3-year contract. Or if I don't believe in him, then okay, this is 1 year is fine. But we gave him $10 million
for 1 year. Yep.
Yeah, that's not peanuts.
It's not. No.
I mean, but I would have rather if we would have signed, Samuel from Carolina, and here's a guy that could replace what Grant does. Here's a guy that actually catches the ball. Yeah. You know, the pelota.
Yeah, why is Grant still on the team?
Well, because they're going to cut him eventually.
I mean, that's a money.
They have to find a replacement.
A money move
there.
Yeah.
And Fuller's a return guy.
So yeah, I don't know if I want that $10 million, fastest, best separation receiver out there getting whacked on special teams with an injury history like he has.
That's true. We don't want that. No, we don't want that at all. Anyway.
We re-signed Matt Collins. And Kyle Loxley.
The man who made the greatest catch in Dolphin history against the Raiders.
What did I call it?
You called it the Linda Blair play. Or something. Yes. The Linda Blair play. Yeah. It wasn't the catch. Poor Fritz.
So, and we talked about Roberts a lot last year, and we liked him, but PFF did not. Right, they said he was one of the worst starting linebackers in the league.
I don't know. Every time I was in the field, I heard bones being shattered.
I know. It was blatantly obvious that when he filled a hole and he, cracked somebody, they felt it more than any other player that we have on defense. He's a hitter.
And I liked him a lot. I liked him a lot.
Yep, I did too. I'm kind of glad that we're giving him another shot, and I don't know, maybe. Mm-hmm. Works out, or he's a specific role player, in a certain scheme on defense. I don't know, but I was not unhappy about that. So
I liked it, but overall the free agency was blah.
Just not to leave a guy out. We signed defensive tackle John Jenkins.
Okay, great. Yeah. So we signed a great free agent class of substitutes.
Exactly. Yeah. And what's
even our
left
running back
here?
Even our running back Malcolm Brown, I mean, he's not going to start for us.
How could he?
But
yeah, I hope not. So if he's starting for us, then we have another problem.
But anyway, okay, so that's it. So now let's go to the draft.
Well,
right?
I do want to say what I don't see here in this list is what happened at center.
Oh my gosh, that was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, we lost her. We lost to the Patriots.
And we wanted to upgrade at center. We talked about it. We said, the number one center in the league is out there. We certainly need to be looking at going after him. We didn't make the kind of splash that we hoped for, obviously. I mean, I was really hoping that I don't know how Tampa Bay signs all these guys.
Hey,
how
you
can
remember
they afford to franchise tag?
You remember Apollo Greed?
Yes. Of course.
Yeah. Just think of that name because that's the center solution, man. That's the center solution.
Okay. All right. Well, right now we signed the guy that got benched in Carolina.
Yeah, I mean it's
because he couldn't snap the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, the free agency was terrible, and I think that we didn't upgrade at
all. Well, we went from the 17th ranked center to something like the 43rd ranked center.
So let's hope we have a plan. At least I have a plan. So let's go to the draft.
Let's do the draft. All right.
Yay. Okay.
Unless you want to talk about Watson first.
Yeah, we should, Watson, because look.
And we made two trades. We didn't talk about the trades.
Well, let's talk about the trades because we should next. But let's talk about Watson. Okay. And first of all, you know, when this first happened, I was adamant that we should strongly consider getting him. And I'm a big Tua guy. I love Tua. But Tua is a possible diamond.
He's got the potential.
Watson, yeah. Watson is a diamond.
Well, yeah.
Watson, well, I mean, on the field, right. Okay? Some say he's a nice massage diamond, but that's another story. But he's
hard as a diamond.
The guy obviously that two Pro Bowls. He's not only he's 25 years old, right?
Yeah.
Two Pro Bowls. The guy is a wizard out there. Maybe he holds on the ball too long, but who cares? He makes millions of plays.
But he uses his feet to scramble around a lot and make extra. Yeah.
He's a fun player. He's a fun player to have. God, am I glad we didn't pull that trigger.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
Holy
a circumstance
Toledo.
Where, right. Yeah. I mean, this team, to me, even though we were a 10-win team, it didn't feel like we were a legit 10-win team. I don't know how to say
Buffalo
that.
Showed us that. Buffalo showed it to us that we're still not
twice,
we're still not quite and we both felt that it had we made the playoffs, we were gonna have our heads handed to us because in the playoff everything changes. Yeah. Every single player, I've always said this to people, listen, the playoff, when you compare we beat so and so, and so we're just as good because we beat them during the regular season and they're the Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean jack because doing a playoff or doing the Super Bowl, they're going to bring – every single player is going to bring
game.
The A game.
Yep.
And it's just a totally different vibe. It's a whole different level, and you better be ready. You better be ready physically, but more importantly, mentally, because mm-hmm. you're going to be up against some tough-minded individuals with a will to win. And that's what you get in the playoffs. I don't think we're quite there yet. We're getting there. But just to close the loop on Watson, geez. I mean, right when that guy, first of all, you know, I don't know.
I didn't like the amount of people that they were talking about giving up for him. I didn't like it. So,
well, I would have given up a first, our two firsts and move and got and traded for
him. Yeah, but it was more than that. They were asking for four.
But you don't know what they were asking. People were coming up. This is just like the mock draft. People were coming up with a million things.
Yeah.
I think today they'll take a number one for him in a heartbeat.
Yes. What can we do to convince you to take him?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll give you our third. We'll pay his salary. We'll do a Tannehill. No, but the thing is that the guy's just, he's got issues. And when it first happened, it just was one of those things that I looked at and said, oh, one girl. Okay. And then next, another. And pretty soon when it's up to 20 something, you go like, there's issues.
Yeah. I mean, at first it seemed reasonable doubt was acceptable because you never know when, these young, everyone knows he's a young millionaire and they want a slice of the pie. So there's bad people on both sides of the fence, right? You know, some people say, I'm a victim, and really they're the predator. But
yeah, you just don't know.
But when it just kept happening and happening and happening, and I'm like, okay, where there's
he may not play football.
Fire. Yes. Yep.
I mean, so yeah, I'm glad we didn't pull the trigger, but we did pull the trigger on some other trades, right?
Yes.
And you're going to cover those for us?
Okay. Well, there was of course the failed swap of the 7th round pick trade for the 1st round draft pick of the Tennessee Titans last year.
Oh God! Yeah.
What in the heck?
And he misses like his first so-called voluntary workout.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so-called. Then he just has. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this guy. Listen, we gotta wish him luck, but. This is the kind of guy that the story's not going to end up well unless he changes his
name. No, he's going to be,
I hope for So here's the deal. We traded with San Francisco. We moved from 3rd to 12th, and we got their first pick in 22, their first pick in 23, along with a 2022 third-round pick. So I thought that was a very decent trade.
Yeah, me too. I wasn't happy that we went from 3 to 12 because it sunk my hopes for the player I wanted, which we'll talk about, you know, mm-hmm. in a bit. Let's deal with this first.
Yes.
But mm-hmm. same day, the second trade happened.
Within minutes, it felt like, right? Uh-huh. We all of a sudden trade with the Philadelphia Eagles, and we go back to number six.
And what was in that trade?
In that trade, we gave up next year's number one, and it wasn't ours, it was the 49ers. And we gave up also a fourth round pick, which was 123rd selection, and we got a fifth round pick to move up. Now, the question I had on that move was, we had to do it, A, because we really liked somebody that we felt was going to be there in the sixth pick, mm-hmm. right? And B, no one has ever cleared this up, is that Philadelphia insists on getting our pick. I wonder, because we gave up our pick, not San Francisco's,
right.
for next year. So usually the team that has the cards dictates that.
Right.
Everybody has been giving Greer credit for uh-huh. this. And I don't want to, you know, I'm not saying this. I'm just saying if I'm doing a deal and I hold the cards, I'm going to tell you, hey, Scott, I love you, man, but you know what? I don't want your pick.
Well, it's all in negotiation, right? Maybe they asked for San Francisco's and we countered with ours.
Yeah, but you could say, okay, then good night now. You know, you're the one that wants to move up. I just say, I've done, as you know, business is my, you know, I've done a couple of deals.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm a businessman. if you really look at this, Scott, the team with the cards, without a doubt, is Philadelphia.
So they're the ones who are going to tell us. The power of, you know, accepting or denying.
So us Dolphin fans, we were quickly to jump that, hey, and I mean, even in our group, yeah, Greer is so confident that he wanted to keep our pick. I mean, I'm not too sure that's the case. Yeah.
It really felt like we got, you know, we won the trade with the 49ers and by a little, and that we lost the trade with the Eagles
by
a little.
We won the trade huge against the 49ers, and we got beat up huge by Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, you always pay more for the higher pick.
Moving up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but the whole thing is, and this is what Armando, we always talk about Armando. Armando had an article today where he's talking about that in reality, we're gathering future assets, and Jimmy used to love to trade future assets. Yeah. Like he traded a number one the year after to pick up a number two, and it was Patrick Surtain.
Right. So what worries me about that situation, about constantly rolling things into the future, is that they're not confident in their ability to pick the right guy now. That's my worry. That's my fear. And the fear stems from having to endure that for over 20 years.
And plus those future picks, you know, are exactly that. They don't help your team right now.
Yeah.
And Jimmy used to have a great saying on this, that he would say that, you know, these guys that you pick today is worth more because you have a year to develop.
Yeah.
And next year they're coming in raw. So, or in this case, in 2 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've had too many, you know, deals done where we gave away our future, at least financially. And then we had to suffer through horrible contracts and things like that. You know, we got to find some balance in there where you're making good trades and you're, you know, winning more than you're losing. But the key is picking people that are not just starting, but, you know, your high picks, some of them should be turning into Pro Bowlers who play for your team. And, you know, I see so many people salivating over Greer and saying he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Well, I got to tell you that when it comes to the deal part of it, you know, dealing, getting value, he turned that tunsil trade into so many people, into so many picks, into so much value.
Even Fitzpatrick, he took a disgruntled, I know he's an all-pro.
Well, yeah,
but
that's a problem.
He took a disgruntled employee and traded him for a number one, while other people took a disgruntled employee like a certain receiver, Hopkins.
Yeah.
You ever heard of him? He was traded for a bag of peanuts.
Yep.
I mean, I was like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
so
that, they
he
got
has
him,
shown his
you know?
Skill set there to really be
exactly.
something that can excite mm-hmm. people.
I think
and
is,
I understand
yes.
it. But, you know, who's pulling the trigger on the trades? You know, is it McKenzie or is it Greer? Who
I think it's Greer.
You know,
I think
you know, in the end, really, it's always a committee, but one person has that final say usually,
oh, sorry.
Right? People stand around, they're on the table, they may be, you know, have equal voices, whatever, but then in the end, one person pulls it. And the only reason I still think it's Greer is because that's the face we see.
Yeah, I know, and that's why, that, and we were talking about that the other day, but yep. but Scott, you I don't know if you heard me sneeze there.
I did.
But you did? Okay, you know why I sneeze? Because I'm allergic to one thing. I'm allergic to losing the two guys, or especially the one guy that we've been bounding on the table ever since my son Alejandro brought this guy to my attention, and I did my research.
And I did my research. Yep.
And Chase is the man.
Chase is the
Jamar
man.
Jamar Chase is
the
man.
Entire and, Dolphin, old man guru, experienced, you know, semi-knowledgeable group of people that we have are all in agreement about one thing, that Chase is the man.
But here's the thing, Scott. So we gave the positive 1,000% chance of taking this guy.
Right.
And we
made
risked
it a risk. Yes.
And now it's a risk. Now we have to sweat it out. We have to see if and last year in one of our podcasts, when we first talked about mm-hmm. this and we first said Chase is the guy.
Yep.
And I said, my fear is that Cincinnati will take him.
Yes.
But then we came ahead of him. I said, yay, they're not going to take
right.
him. Well, we're back behind them.
Yes,
again.
Yes, we are.
Now, they'll be stupid as hell to take him, I hope.
Yeah, but, with the offensive line that they have and Sewell sitting there available.
Yeah. Yeah, you hear me, Cincinnati? You'll be a bunch of idiots if you take
yes.
him.
Yes. You need
man,
the OT.
You know what? They could take
they
him.
They could.
They could yeah. take him. And if that happens, I'm going to be one pissed off.
Yeah.
Me because
there's a lot of people out there in Dolphin land, especially on Twitter. I mean, I still read social media, even though I had some mm-hmm. semi derogatory comments about it to open the podcast. That love Pitts and thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And
okay,
I dug into Pitts too, and he is something special, but he's not Chase.
Here's the thing with Pitts. Pitts is a nightmare matchup, mm-hmm. but so is Chase.
Yep.
Chase can work in any offense. You're going to have to create an offense for Pitts. You're going to have him and say, okay, we're going to, you know, we're going to put him here. We're going to put this. So Chase is like, okay, what do you want? Slot receiver?
Yep.
You got him. You got a guy. You know, a statistic on Chase that blew my mind. Pro Football Focus came up with this, okay? Uh-huh. You know, on the 50-50 balls that were thrown his way, he came down with 50% of those balls.
Which is much higher than...
Which is ridiculous. Yeah. It is ridiculous. You were throwing a ball up that every two people had a chance to get. One guy that's trying to swap that ball down and just hold your hands or do whatever.
Yep.
Or pull your arm down. And he came down with 50% of those. His hands are unbelievable. His speed. He ran, what, a 4.3?
Yeah.
He's big as hell. A lot bigger than...
Yeah, he's a take the ball away type of receiver. I think mm-hmm. in the podcast, I know I compared it while we were texting, and I know I compared it while we were just talking on our own, but I think I even said when we first started talking about him, I started looking at him, I'm like, he looks like a young Calvin Johnson to me. I mean, do we want a Megatron that just goes
mm-hmm.
out there and owns the field?
He's
what a weapon that will
pro.
Be. And what
and
you were saying is so true, is he plays every wide receiver role.
Everything.
And
everything.
Beats his guy in every circumstance. And even if it's a
everything.
Contested ball, he's taking it.
And,
he's taking it.
And Scott, he's an alpha male.
Yes.
I mean, he was the number one receiver, and he ran that that whole receiving corps to a national championship team, okay, when he was, what, 19 years
yeah,
old?
Yeah, here's my prisoner of the moment thing. It's mm-hmm. like everyone, after this year's college national championship game, everyone fell in love with Smith. Smith, 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 Smith. Smith is number four mm-hmm. on my wide receiver list. So
yeah,
the kid is good. He's fast.
Yeah, he's very good.
You know, whatever. But I'm not – he doesn't look like a pro to me. He doesn't look like he's going to have – maybe he will. By the way,
he'll be the second lightest receiver ever taken in the history of the NFL.
In the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So –
So I mean, if he's gonna be taken in the first round.
Yeah, somebody is. But I actually don't. I want it right. I'm all in on Chase 10 times over picking a guy like Smith.
But that was my disappointment
with Armando. I think he fell victim to
prisoner
of the moment.
Yeah, he fell in love with the prisoner.
All you have to do, if you want to compare, is go play the previous national championship game and watch Chase.
And you would, and your jaw would hit the ground like we did, and we said, "Oh my God, this guy looks," and his pro day workout only emphasized that he is not only in shape, that he's ready, man.
Even though he didn't play, he is ready
to come in and play. But here's the thing with the draft. Okay, Jacksonville, we know where they're going. Yeah. The Jets, early on, we discussed it. I felt the Jets were leaning towards Wilson. And now I think we're, what, 90% there that they're going to take him?
Well, they traded away their quarterback, so they got to draft a quarterback.
In our group, we got into it pretty heavy on this. And I was Wilson. And I think that, unfortunately, the Jets listened. And I think they are going to do that. But San Francisco's got to be a quarterback. They wouldn't move up.
Yeah. I saw people saying Mac Jones. I'm like, that would be the dumbest thing.
Yes. No, that would be the greatest thing in the history of mankind.
Because we have their pick.
No, they get Mac Jones. That means for sure someone's going to be taking a little quarterback out of Ohio State.
Right. Yeah. Someone's going to jump up to Atlanta's pick. I know that's been for sale for quite a while.
Atlanta's pick. Atlanta cannot resist a temptation if that's what happens, okay? Because, I mean, when you really think about it, all of a sudden now you have, you know, a top-rated quarterback. When I heard that, I was like, But, how can they pass on Fields? It's impossible. So they would take Fields, and then Cincinnati would obviously, hopefully, take their offensive lineman right then and there.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know why Fields wouldn't go to San Francisco, but yeah.
Yeah, but whatever. But let's say Matt Jones happens, and that's the guy they fell in love with. That's even better for us because we know Atlanta would then. But here's where it gets tricky. If for whatever reason, what people are saying, Pitts goes to 4, and
which would not be a shocker. Atlanta kept their pick and took Pitts.
And well, I'm going to be a little controversial here. Mm-hmm. So let's say, okay, that happens. Pitts goes there because they fell in love with him. And the rumors are coming out, which I think is smoke, that the Dolphins are in love with Pitts and that, you know, Flores just was floored with his workout and everything.
I think it's smoke too.
Me too. And then Cincinnati takes Chase.
Then we've screwed the pooch.
When it comes to our greatest need and our
greatest value for moving back up to 6. Then why did we even move up to 6 if we lost Pitts?
But here's the trick. Now, I was originally saying when this happened, I said, okay, now I'm Pitts. Let's move back and get more picks. Yeah. But here's the problem. The trade partner that people say that we have, it's called Denver.
Yeah. And if there's no quarterbacks there at 6.
But here's the thing. Do you think Detroit is not going to take a wide receiver? They just lost their two wide receivers.
Yeah. Of course they are.
They just lost their two best wide receivers. Yeah. They're gone. Yep. They're history.
Yep.
They have to take. Oh, they don't have to, but if a good receiver, if Smith is there, they're going to grab him. Or Waddle.
Or Waddle, yeah.
Now we are possibly getting Smith.
Why did you tell me you liked Smith. Waddle better than Smith?
I liked it for many reasons. Number one is I think Waddle is – I mean, his speed was – it's like a 4.2 speed. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Number two is Waddle outplayed Smith, and I heard an incredible breakdown of the 4 games they played together, and Waddle outplayed him in those 4 games. Waddle is a stud. He's a playmaker. He's incredible. He's dynamic. He could take that little slant and disappear. I have concerns about Smith's health and being able to stay healthy in the NFL with the violence of the game. He's protected with today's rules, but still they're gonna go after him.
Even with the rules, people still take that hit across the middle. So
it's gonna be tough. And I would take Waddle before Smith, but I don't want
at
that.
Six.
I want Chase. I want Chase. And if Chase is not there, I'm really not.
It would feel like we're not getting value, you know.
So let's think we got Chase. If we got Chase, we're
good. In the same scenario, if Pitts is gone and Chase is gone, are we going to have a revolution if we then turn and take Sewell?
The fans will be pissed. Yeah. But I think it probably might make sense.
Actually, and then, you know, even though I don't want that to happen, that might be the smartest move at that point.
Okay, but here's my Sewell argument. And I made that the other day and pretty long length in a conversation with Alejandro. And I think we even got you in on that one. Is that last year we invested a pretty high pick on a left tackle. Yep. Sewell is not a right tackle. He's a left tackle. And this is one of the positions in football that you just can't swap people out of and say, yeah, you know what? We drafted you. I know you're a stud left tackle, but we're going to put you at right tackle. Because it's failed over and over again in football.
The one weird thing about this situation that's a little bit different is the left tackle is usually the blind side blocker that, you know, is protecting the quarterback because the quarterback's right-handed. And the right tackle is usually the one that drives is your better run blocker. They're driving the run more often than not. You've got more open field on the right side than the left side. It just kind of works out that way. So, and the quarterback has vision in that area, so they don't have to be the best pass protector on the right side.
But we've got
a left-handed quarterback now.
Yeah, but are we going to invest that much in that? And did I miss something, or did Hunt look pretty good last year?
He had good moments.
He's a rookie.
Yeah, I know.
He was a rookie. He looked pretty damn good. Yeah. He came into his own as the season was coming on. And we got Kinsley, another rookie that looked pretty good, a fourth-round pick. And we got, you know, Jackson, the big old boy, strong as hell, huge guy. As our left tackle, I think I would not want this pick, no.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, as much as I think I would have loved him if we would have done last year what we talked about.
Yeah.
If we were drafting
last year as a committee,
oh,
right? Mm-mm. Who would be on our team?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it'll be untouchable because we would have Tua.
Yep.
Because we did.
We
all
wanted Tua. Yep.
We were unanimous on Tua.
But at 18,
the
desk was being pounded for
and the wide receiver from Minnesota.
Jefferson,
yep, that's it.
That's who we wanted.
Jefferson was the guy we were pounding the table for.
And then the third
him.
Pick, but
actually
even before we traded back, but especially after we traded back, he was still there.
It was Dobbins.
So, Dolphins out there, if your gurus here, if your old Dolphins were drafting, we would have we would have offensive weapons. We would have an offense that is something to be reckoned with this year. Because
then we would have been drafting Sewell, and we would have been
right.
Like, yes.
Yes, and then this year we could have picked Sewell, which would have been the perfect.
Sewell would have been no
pick
problem
because now we have a starting running back that's a stud, a starting wide receiver that's a stud, and a quarterback that has all the potential to be great.
Our offense would be set.
Yep.
Our offense would be set, but so in the sixth pick, it just comes down just to wrap this up. If we get Chase. I'm tickled pink, and I'm okay with what Greer did, even though I'm not super happy with it, because again, it's 2023. Mm-hmm. Like I told you the other day, we're not getting any younger. Let's win today, please. Let's win now.
Yeah.
But okay, and if we get Pitts, I'm gonna be okay with it at that pick.
Six,
but I'm not
gonna
be as thrilled.
Same here.
I'm not gonna be
same
as
here.
Thrilled. But I'm gonna be okay, and then I'm gonna want to.
I'm gonna hope that our tandem there can scheme. For him.
Yes.
Because now you have to change your scheme to fit the talent that you have.
Exactly. I mean,
instead of a guy you can plug in anywhere.
Yeah. Chase is a plug and play. We're going to go West Coast today. Okay. He's good. Okay. With two wide receivers set, he's great. Four receivers, he's great. I mean, the guy doesn't matter what you do with him. You got yourself, you know, a freak wide receiver. But now,
18.
Scotty, can we move on to 18? Okay. What do we do at 18, man? I mean, here's my take, and I know that
I have a really boring answer. Let's hear yours.
Well, I would love to take Parson at 18.
If he's there.
If he's there. Parson is the
linebacker
at Penn State.
Yep.
His percentile And if you would rate him out, if he would have gone to the combine, it's in the 99th percentile in almost everything. He's a complete freak. He would replace Van Noy.
Yes.
And it would be a plug and play. You put him in. He was a edge rusher in high school. He became more of a linebacker at Penn State. I don't like, and we have to discuss this a little bit, the fact that he would be our second draft choice that didn't play last year.
Yeah.
If we got Chase, it's like we won. Yeah. So that's kind of weird. But you're looking at, I love him as my number one choice. But if that's, because also he would kill two birds with one stone. He would become, replace Van Noy and also be a hell of a pass rusher.
Yeah.
And a good cover guy.
Yeah.
So that's my number one. Yep. And Harris from Alabama, the running back. I mean, you're looking at a guy that...
A lot of people are expecting us to pick him at 18. A lot of people are in love with it. I'm not convinced that we're going to spend that draft capital on a running back at 18.
Well, you have a guy that has all the ability, all the ability to be a number one stud running back. He's got everything. Am I sold that we're going to – I think we will do that. I think we would. I would rather get an edge rusher. I would love Rousseau. I know it's all over the page. People have him in the 12th pick, and some people have him in the 50th.
Yes,
pick.
I saw him. Yeah, both extremes, right? We've loved Rousseau since, we saw him just dominating as a kid in Miami as an early starter.
Yeah, and the U, he was just a dominant kid. He's got the size, he's got the skills, but what really hurt him was
a lot of people have
day.
Us taking Phillips there.
Well, that's the thing. The pro day, Phillip had a pro day that was ridiculous, and he looked so good, so polished, so strong, and so Jalen Phillips looks like really unbelievable, and so. My opinion is any one of those guys at 18, Parson, Harris, Rousseau, or Phillip, I'm okay with.
Yeah.
I would put Parson in my number one.
We have great corners. If we get a pass rush to go with it, the defense can take an entire next step towards being legendary.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go as far as saying next pick in the second round. Mm-hmm. That's where
if we don't take Parson,
let's say we get Paris, we get Parson, or we get Rousseau, or we get Phillips. Yep. One of these edge rushers. Then I want to see a running back.
Yes. Either second ETM, round, we can't. Yep. We
or Williams, which I love.
Right.
And now with our second pick, this is where I told you Creed. I would love Humphrey to be our second pick in the second round.
I'm with you.
And I would move up for him.
There.
Creed Humphrey is a freak of nature. He's 6'4", 302 pounds. He bench pressed 29 times. He's got incredible vertical. I think it was, what is it? I'm looking at it right here. 33 inches. Broad jumped of 112 inches. I mean, the guy is fast. He did the shuttle in... 4.46 second, the 5'10", 5. These numbers are incredible. They're off the chart. I mean, this guy is a freak, and he is incredibly well-rounded, and he's a center. He's a true center.
And we need one desperately.
I would love to see that. I would. That would be, this draft would be out of the ballpark. We got ourselves the receiver. We got ourselves a defensive player, and I want a football player. That's why I say that, like Parson. Yep. Rousseau, Phillips, one of those guys, a good running back, either Harris or Creed or one of those guys, and then Williams.
Oh,
and
you meant Etienne or Williams, yeah.
Yeah,
Then four.
Javonte Williams is unreal, and I had him as my number one running back because I saw him play, and I was just mystified with how good of a running back he is, how strong he is, how compact he is. But I'll take either one of those guys, any one of those three running backs. But we need to get one of those guys.
It's a realistic scenario that what we're talking about could happen. And I love it because it's addressing every major need. It's putting us in a position to take the next step with our team, with the Dolphins.
But you're not reaching.
Exactly.
That's the thing. We're not reaching for the wide receiver because we said we reach for Chase. Oh, really?
No. But if it's six, we take Smith or Waddle. That feels like a reach to me.
That to me feels like a reach too. But yep. You know, you can't really argue that as a reach because that's where in a normal draft, if you didn't have Chase and Pitts in this draft, those guys would be the number one. I don't think Parson will be there.
I don't
but
think
if he's
so
there,
either.
We can't pass him.
Yes. That's like when we passed up Ray Lewis. Like, we both knew what Ray Lewis was coming out of Miami. And that Jimmy Johnson passed him up was absolutely dumbfounding.
But the thing is, in this draft, what really pops out is that we got game changers in the top of the draft. That's why I wasn't happy, and I just, you know, we talked about it. Going for 36, I wanted the sure thing in hand. Mm-hmm. And to me, the sure thing is drafting Chase.
Yep. Alex is standing on the mountaintop. You guys better do it.
Just kidding.
And I'm with him. I'm totally on board.
And Scott, I want to say this. I've heard rumors today, especially this idiot Mel Kiper.
Oh, that we're going to trade back into four? For what?
If we did that, I'm going to be lying and say I won't watch the draft. I would be so pissed because it means we're just trading for trade.
Yeah.
I mean,
hey,
we're
look
just,
at me
on
Greer. I can move us all over the place and people
let's
feel
make a deal.
I'm
Greer would not.
Yeah.
I give Greer much more credit than
yes. That. I think it's BS too.
Okay. But anyway, I can't wait, Scotty. This is going to be a hell of a draft, man.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm more excited this year than last year. I really am.
Yeah, I feel that about you. I was really excited last year because of three number ones. When do you have three number ones? And, you know, I left the draft with a pain in my gut. I didn't feel like we, you know, I loved Tua, but after that, everything was a question mark to me. So
And that's exactly how they played, except for Davis. The one guy I doubted the most was
yep.
Davis. And he proved me wrong, thank God. He looked fantastic, mm-hmm. But the rest of the guys still have pretty much a question mark, even though I think Hunt's going
to
come around.
They have a lot to prove.
I think Hunt's
going to come especially that
around.
Corner.
Oh, God, Noah. Yeah, yeah he has a lot
he
to
has
prove,
more to prove man. Than any other pick that, you know, that Greer made last year.
Because when he got on the field, he got burned. Yep. But you know what? We gotta move forward. And I think this year with this draft, with everything that's going on, buddy, this is going to be super exciting. I think the Dolphins will make the right moves and we're going to see the team dramatically improve. And to the point that I think we're a legitimate playoff team if we make these moves that we discussed about today.
I agree.
We are legitimate playoff.
I agree. And the future is bright because we have such a core of young talent.
Yeah, in 2023, we got all these draft choices. Oh, God. Okay, well, maybe we could trade some of those to move back in the first round this year.
Yeah, well, everything is capital, right?
Wouldn't it be crazy if we do get Chase and then we move back in and get Pitts?
Yes, that's too much to ask for.
Okay, well, fantasizing. This is a... You know, if you want to, you know, I mean, we got the assets. We trade the 2023. We trade a 2022 pick. You wouldn't do it to trade your 22 and 23 to move back in and get Pitts? I would.
All right. Let's leave it on the fantasy land there.
On the fantasy. GM Alex just pulled the trade. Uh-huh. we got no picks for the next 2 years, but don't worry about it. Okay. Anyway, Scotty, love you, man. This is a lot of
yep.
fun. I'm really glad we got back together, and we're going to have to do this right after the draft.
Right after the draft. Hey, Rod, we're going to have the draft party again, right? And record it.
Yeah, we're going to have it. With,
we might
Andrew
even
Gorge.
Have one more video on our YouTube channel. We've got
Andrew,
one there from last year's
Andrew,
draft.
Andrew's going to be
good,
there.
Good.
Eric
and Jeff
Hansen.
And,
yeah,
yep,
Jeff King.
And Alejandro.
All the Alejandro, yep. My son, everybody will be there. And we're not short on opinion. That's for sure.
And the jokes and the sarcasm.
There you go.
Yes.
The sarcasm and hopefully the cheers and the happiness because that's what we need this draft.
Yep.
We need this draft to knock it out of the ballpark.
Yep. So, time to get some Pro Bowlers on this team.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Good night now.
Take care.
Two Old Dolphins Podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there, or find us on Twitter where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally, and a Facebook page. Our podcast contains the music of two bands. We'd like to thank the original Tartanic drum and bagpipe champions. You can find their music and more at tartanic.net. A huge shout out to Rick DeJesus and the boys of Adelitas Way. Can't thank them enough for allowing us to use their kick-ass rock in our podcast. You can find them everywhere, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Spotify. And make sure to catch them when they're touring because they are the best.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Dolphins. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old guy stories. Good night.
Go Dolphins. Yeah.